Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, Susie. Hey, groomers. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, groomers. And hello, Barbara. Welcome to episode 127 of the Groom Pod, recorded on July 9th, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we are going to talk about a very odoriferous problem, and that is stinky dogs. Our definition du jour is aloe vera, and we're going to talk about that annoying, irritating problem of hair splinters. You can join our discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, or pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. You can find all things Groom Pod related, including our very, very active Amazon banner and our donation button at www.thegroompod.com. And you guys are sharing us with your friends, or something is happening because we're growing like crazy. And keep up the good work. And don't forget to tell your sponsors that you heard their ads on the Groom Pod when you see them at a trade show. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bieber.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. Here we go, Barbara. What happened to you this week?
Oh, I had a pretty nice week. No big dramas. One little drama thing with a dog. But, you know what? One of the things that happened to me is that a groomer called me on the phone. So I get this voicemail. And actually called me on my shop phone. I have become extremely lazy and awful about picking up my messages on my shop phone. It's just a true symptom of burnout. You know, and I just dread it because there's going to be something on there that I don't want to deal with. I just know it, you know. And so I broke down, but I am getting good about it, about picking up all the messages for a week within that week, you know.
So that's progress.
Well, that's progress, you know. So I picked up my messages, and here was this message from a groomer in Florida. And she says, I desperately need to talk to you. Well, you know, I was so happy to call her. And she had a problem that I don't think I could really be a whole lot of service to, because she had a dog that was allergic to everything. And it wasn't that the dog would react the first time she used anything. It was the third time that she would use something, and it would be like 30 hours after she used it. This is classic allergy thing. But why would this dog have an allergic reaction the third time she used anything? So, you know, she'd just gone through all the products she had any confidence in, and where does she go then? It's not like there was some common ingredient, because if there was a common ingredient, the dog might react 3 days later. The dog might react 30 hours later, the first time, the third time, but then every time a new shampoo was used with that common ingredient, they would react. This is developing an allergic response, not the first time, not the second time, but usually the third time.
Repeated exposure. You know, that's bizarre.
That's allergies. Repeated exposure is allergies. So we knew it wasn't something common. Like sometimes the common ingredient, unfortunately, is cocaminopropyl betaine, or the common ingredient might be a preservative, or any number of other ingredients. ingredients, but that wasn't so. So, but it was such fun. Even though I couldn't like hand her a solution, it was fun engaging with her. And she told me that she's read my book 6 times.
Well, that's impressive.
I said, you go, girl. That's about what it takes. You know, I had to write it 6 times. So, you know, I know it takes a long time. Everybody, if you attended the Beyond Suds webinar and you found stuff going swoosh over your head, don't be discouraged. Just keep on listening. Keep on reading. Keep on reading ingredient lists on the back of shampoo bottles at the supermarket. Just let it kind of just keep coming in and coming in. And sooner or later, it's going to start hooking up together. And you'll start digesting it for real and understanding that it can take a bit of time and patience. But that was so much fun. So can you guess what I suggested for that dog?
Truly Tearless?
No.
I don't know. What?
Modramore Mud Bath.
Oh, what a great idea.
I said, your dog is reacting to surfactant system after surfactant system after surfactant. What is the one thing that all of these shampoos have in common? Surfactant systems. So let's look at an alternative cleaning mode, clay.
Right. You know?
Okay, so you're not going to get as clean, but there's a lot of other things that you get with the mud bath, soothing the skin, repairing the skin. You know, skin can be repaired, although hair cannot. And that's because skin is still alive, and it's replacing itself, and it's reforming. And, I'm excited. Look at my hands waving around. So I said, call Jackie. Talk to the boss. Call Jackie. Tell her about our conversation. Use my name. And see if she'll send you a sample of something that she recommends among her products, and you can try it. And, you know, you can tell her you need 3 baths worth.
Right.
Right?
Wow.
So I thought that was, you know, like, so maybe I did, I don't know, maybe I did solve the problem, but at least I came up with a next step.
Yeah, and I assume they're going to the allergist, right? I mean, are they in a place where they can't do that?
I don't know.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, no, I said, this is so far out of my scope, you know, and this is a puzzle that somebody with a real allergy background needs to put together the pieces, but you might try that.
This is not a kind of a problem that a regular vet could handle. This is a vet dermatologist problem, and,
right.
You know, you can't drive the people there with their dog and then force them to go in. And so you can do what we can do, which is what Barbara did. That's so cool. And you met a new groomer. Did you get her to listen to the pod?
Yeah, well, I hope so. You know, I told her that we come up with stuff every week.
Yeah, well, you know, we've really made it. We finally made it because we had our very first piece of negativity in 2 years. It took 2 years to get a piece of negativity. And when it came out, the people that love us came to our rescue with the most wonderful positive things to say. And my heart swelled and I was like, oh, we've made it. We're good. We had a troll.
Yeah, no, it was right. Zinged right at me. You know?
Oh, yeah, it was zinged at you, but I took it very personally because now we're connected at the hip.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, if they don't like me, they're not going to like the podcast.
Yes.
You know, because I'm going to be there almost every time.
True, it's true. Kind of depends on you.
I know. Well, you know, it did make me think about maybe I bellyache about my body and my physical problems too much. But a lot of our listeners say they're following my journey and that they appreciate my sharing about what can go wrong, you know, like what breaks down as you've groomed from year after year. And, you know, it's different with every individual because everybody's body has its own unique weak links.
And I don't remember who else it was who said, who wants to learn for the whole hour? Nobody wants that. They like the chatter. We're good with the chatter. The chatter's fine. We've polled people. We know you guys like to hear us chatter. Maybe a little less ouch, but I think that the younger people need to know and protect themselves. And that is part of our goal, is to make sure that people aren't all ouchy when they're your age and aren't crippled over and stuff like that. So we are
open to negative, you know, what turns you off. We want to know.
Yeah. We want this to be your
this
podcast.
Particular person was just, clearly a negative person and just like not a friend. And,
it's okay,
a long, long time ago, I lost my need to be loved by everybody.
Oh, wow.
Just 3/4 of the universe will be fine for me.
Oh, I need everybody. We all know this. So here's, I got a tale for you. It's an interesting one. It's totally tales in mobile grooming. Remember, I didn't do any doodles. I had that one doodle, right? The one doodle. Okay. Well, and then I got the handful of doodles from Danielle, some of which stuck around, some of which didn't. Well, the ones that stuck around, apparently everybody talks to everybody else. And now I'm getting doodle phone calls out of the woodwork. And I really can't fit anybody else in. I got a 2-doodle phone call that was a referral from one of my new doodles. And then 2 texts and an email, 3 other people with more doodles, all with doodles. So I guess I'm not so bad.
I guess not.
No, and they all love me.
They
don't know me yet. Yep.
I know. See, that's the thing to get. I've been getting new clients from a email program called Nextdoor.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah, this is a good one. And what happened was I saw there was a section or a category or a little sub of a sub that said, recommendations for, and one of them was pet groomers. And I looked on there and there's a couple of pet groomers. And I said, well, I need to be on that. And so I got in touch with one of my customers of 25-30 years. And I said, and I knew she was in our neighborhood. And I said, Beth, can you take a minute, please, and write something nice about me on the Nextdoor thing? Because I already knew she was participating. And she said, no problem. She went on there and gave me a real glowing report about that she's followed me for 25 years and I've taken care of multiple pets and how much she trusts me with her animals and that kind of thing. Boy, that just popped out. Calls and inquiries and new clients. And I'm laughing because that Yelp salesman wanted me to pay $450 each month.
Holy cow.
To be boosted to the top of their little list of Tucson groomers and to be given some kind of a special, glowing intro or something.
A promotion.
The best of Tucson kind of thing. $450 each month. And this didn't cost me a thing, a cent. And I got, about 4 new clients with these great word of mouth. When they come with a great word of mouth, or they've looked at your website and they feel like they've got to know you, or their vet sends them to you, those are references of gold. They come in expecting a good result. And you know what? What we expect manifests itself.
Okay.
So our psychology influences how we perceive what we get. If we go in expecting a good result, it has to be really bad to not get your expectation met. If we go in with a confidence that this is a good place and they're safe, and not the usual kind of, what is this? Are these good people? I really empathize with pet owners going to a new groomer and not having any information about them, you know, and handing over their baby, their child, their buddy.
We all know that's what I feel like when I go to the door of a new client.
Yeah.
But I got to say, with all this practice I've been having, when I got those four hits yesterday, I was like, I can deal with this. It's okay. And then I decided I got to change my message. I got to cut it off because I'm starting to get too busy. I couldn't, you know, I need to have a life. I don't want to, my numbers are back up and I don't need to be crazy about it. So
yeah. And how many doodles do you really want to do in your limited client base? You know, I got two new Westie customers from a new person that has a Westie and a Schnauzer and walks their dogs a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
So Winston the Westie has sent me Boo the Westie, and yesterday I did Charlie the Westie, and this little Charlie the Westie is going to turn out to be a demo dog for me. I mean, he's really he represents his breed very well, and he grooms up real nice. So I'll probably be able to use him. So anyway, and that was another free, you know, two more little Westies. Westies, it's a good moneymaker. They're not doodles. They're not standard poodles.
Yeah, and I'm good with these doodles because they're special needs dogs. They're all, it's like, I don't know the particulars, but everybody's coming for a reason. One of them's old, one of them is shy, one of them is a creepy, or I should say a nervous owner. So, you know, well, people know that special needs are welcome. Pets and people, special needs pets and people are welcome. So those, if they were not special needs, I probably wouldn't take them. And if they don't get back to me today, then they won't be taken anyway. And then I'll change my message and I'll move on. But so anyway, that's
speaking
cool. So,
moving on.
Yes, moving on. I just want to remind everybody that we are doing another webinar, and it's part two, the conditioner part of Beyond Suds and Scent. And it's going to be on August 6th. And I believe we're still doing 11 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, I haven't got any compelling reason to change it. And, you know, the truth is I use up every minute of that morning finishing up and polishing and getting ready to go on, you know, so I don't want to change it.
Okay, well, we'll go with that again. You can sign up for the webinar when it becomes available. We'll plaster it on Facebook on the facebook.com/group/thegroompod discussion
yeah,
group.
Hopefully it will be up by the time this podcast goes live.
Cool. Know? All right. Let's take a moment and hear from Best Shot. Then we will be back with our discussion about smelly dogs. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Job insurance, Barbara. That's what I call it. Job insurance. Because we make our livings off of the fact that people live with their dogs inside. If everybody's dog lived outside, nobody would care. But because the dogs are inside and because they tend to be odoriferous, just in general, we have this great ability to make a living. I feel like there are particular breeds of dogs that are smellier than other breeds of dogs. So I was kind of trying to compile a little bit of a list. I even looked on the internet and people have some suggestions out there as well. What dogs do you think are the smelliest?
Black Labs.
Oh, Labs for sure. For yeah. sure. And I need more Labs and less Doodles. Also, Shih Tzus. Yeah. Shih Tzus and their yeasty faces.
Yeah, you see, odor can come from several sources.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that. So those are two different sources of odors. We've got yeast around the face, and we've got skin. Not necessarily an infection, although it can be, but smelly skin is often from excess sebum.
Right.
Excess sebum and bacteria. So bacteria stink. There's a kind of characteristic odor that you get to recognize in your grooming after several years, you know, just like you recognize, you probably recognize kidney disease odor.
Oh yeah.
Kidney breath, yep. Kidney failure breath. That's so singular an odor that once you connect that odor with that disease, you always know. And so when a dog has been struggling with kidney problems and then you start smelling that odor, you know the end is coming.
Right,
You just know that. So the Labrador and another smelly skin dog can be the German Shepherd. And this is just kind of oily, greasy skin.
Rottweilers too.
And I think, and this might be my theory or supposition, that it's related to the fact that those breeds have an alkaline pH skin. And so they attract bacteria. And the dogs that have a little more acidic or a less alkaline skin don't tend to have smell. I mean, like my Bichons have never smelled like bad like that unless they have a hot spot, and then that's its own smell, you know. If you're a dog that never smells, all of a sudden smells, there might be a skin infection happening someplace that you haven't seen it yet, you know. Another source of odor is an anal gland problem.
Oh, yeah. And that's also a very distinct smell.
And that's also, oh, boy, that's unmistakable.
It sure is. The interesting thing for me is it's not related to the length of hair, because we've got Rottweilers that have almost no hair. You've got Labs that have kind of thicker, medium sized hair. And then you've got dogs like St. Bernards and Great Pyrenees and Newfoundlands that all really smell because of what holds in their coat. Yeah. So it's not exclusively a hair related issue. Like you said, it's a skin related issue.
And then, bad ears.
Cockers.
Bad ears is a source of odor, and that's another kind of distinct thing. Most likely it's yeasty ears and bad breath. That's a bacterial problem. And of course, the dogs that have a really bad teeth and a lot of bacteria in their mouth, when they lick themselves, they are layering on some more bacteria. And, you know, we always tell the owners that when they have that bad teeth and you can see red inflammation along the gum line, they are swallowing billions of bacteria with every freaking breath.
You got a point there.
Hey, you know what surprised me? This is a little off topic, but not totally, but what surprised me when I had Belle's teeth done,
what,
and she lost 16 teeth, I expected her to come home with an antibiotic, and she didn't.
Really?
really, this is new. This is new veterinary protocol, is that if they're extracting all of the teeth that are causing the bacteria, and they, and then what they did is they did a topical gel on some of the other bad teeth, that they kind of implanted this gel into the gums. I mean, I don't think they injected it, but they packed those teeth with this antibiotic gel. And then they don't do the 14 days of antibiotic anymore.
I'm having a root canal on Thursday or Wednesday of next week, and I have a pretty substantial heart murmur. They're not pre-medicating me anymore either.
You know what? So in both human medicine and veterinary medicine are looking at ways of not using so much antibiotics because of the problem of antibiotic resistance that's coming up, you know, and they're thinking twice at almost every protocol to see where they can. That seems to be what's happening. Anyway, that was an interesting development.
That is an aside.
She and Dr. Thomas told me it was a fairly recently developed protocol. So that, as an aside. So
okay. So let's try. So we've got face. We've got yeasty face. We've got yeasty ears. We've got less acidic skin. We've got just generally stuff in the hair. We've got anal glands. We've got all these different things. And guess what? We're responsible for like 90% of getting that stuff out of there.
So the key, I read a bunch of just kind of general, I mean, even carpet cleaning, odor, the science of odor, you know.
Well, fun.
And the truth is, odor is not, there's not a whole lot of existing science about it. You know, like they can't measure it. Unlike decibels.
Yes.
You know, yeah, that they can measure. They have no way of measuring the, you know. And it, and often the offensiveness is in the nose of the beholder.
Very true. Yes.
So, so the skin thing, I always recommend a kind of a clarifying shampoo and an acidifying treatment.
Okay.
And also, I do want to shout out to Best Shot One Shot Shampoo, Conditioner, and Spray, that those are excellent products. We've had really good results with that. But I know that I have improved Labradors just with Show Season's Results Rinse after a clarifying shampoo. And you don't necessarily have to use a degreasing product. Degreasing products, by and large, you should use topically on spot areas, not on the whole animals, because they're usually really strong concentrations of cleansing detergent. And it's not necessarily healthy for the entire coat, but you might want to use something like that on your cocker ears. And then inside your cocker ears, I totally believe in Lisa Leedy's Miracle Ear stuff. And one of the things that it has in it, and this is a recipe that was a home recipe for years, but Lisa figured out how to make it a viable product. And it's got boric acid in it, so it's acidifying. And it's got Jensen Violet in it. And Jensen Violet is very effective against fungus. So it makes for a really, it's kind of discouraging bacteria at the same time that it's eliminating fungus. So that's just kind of getting the ear problem from both directions. And it's got some alcohol in it, so it's going to dissolve some of that debris and waxiness. So I would clean, I would first scrub the ears real good with a degreaser, and then clean the ears real good with the Lisa Leedy's stuff, and actually go a step further than cleaning and pour some down into the ear canal and massage it real well. Let the dog shake it out, clean it up, might leave the inside of the ear looking a little bluish or a little lavender, but that's a pleasant look. And that stuff is an excellent, I mean, we use the Lisa Leedy as an everyday, every dog ear cleaner because my bather swears by it. She says, can we have some more of the purple stuff? I like that the best.
Oh, nice. It's purple too. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I always hesitate. Dogs that have really bad ears, I don't generally flush those ears because of the potential for having a ruptured eardrum. Oh. And then you don't want to flush, but you do want to get everything out that you possibly can get without irritating the dog's ears more because it is so stinky. And believe me, you can get every bit of that coat clean. And if those ears still smell, that dog is not going to smell clean. And I am a huge proponent of the fact that if you hand back a clean dog, that dog is clean. It smells clean. It feels clean. It looks clean. Your haircut is not the most important thing. It's that the dog is clean. And people will tend to be much more generous about uneven ears in my case, as long as the dog is really clean. So let's target some other areas. How about dirty butts? What do we do back there?
Well,
are you doing anal glands these days or not?
No.
I do them on dogs that have a problem and they get expressed easily. But if they are not easily expressed, then I send them to the vet at this point, even though I am trained to go in there. Occasionally, if the vet has sent them back to me with the instruction of going inside, I'll charge extra and go inside because I can. But as a regular grooming service, I don't.
I think I know how to go inside, but that's not good enough.
Right.
You know,
I was taught by the vets.
I need to have a vet look over my shoulder and say, you're doing that right. So I don't go inside.
That makes sense.
And I don't like to go outside unless it's just calling my name.
You know? And I've gotten that way now. I don't do every dog. I don't even do every dog. I do dogs only when they need it, only when the owner complains about scooting or I lift up back there and feel that it's full.
And you feel that it's full or you see that it's swollen underneath the anus and, you know, and then you want to do it. You know, it is important that we look squarely at the asshole.
And we're not talking about the owner. I'm just kidding. But sorry, I couldn't resist that one. How bad. I love my owners.
You're bad. I love my owners too. But I'm just calling an asshole an asshole. That's all. You know, like we are not in our culture. I have to correct that because we are not, as rule, focused on looking at assholes.
True.
The exception is the gay men.
Well, yes. Yeah,
you know, and gay men will get the cleanest assholes.
Yeah. This is such an odd topic. They're going to love this. Everyone's going to love this. And if we throw an F-bomb in there, we're gold. Our ratings are going to shoot through the roof. God. It's true because, you know, the owners are not looking. That's the other big thing.
You know, it really has to pop out and call their name, and it doesn't. You know, like the dog will tend to hold its tail down if there's a problem. And, you know, and so it's our job to look closely at each and every asshole that is on our table.
I'm sorry. But you're right. You're right. Yes, I'm a 7-year-old boy, but you're right. Yeah, and the, you know, the hoo-has and the girl parts too, because oftentimes you get under there and that's how you find something going on because there's a lot of discolored hair, there may be matting, they've obviously been licking, and then you got to let them know you may have a urine infection going on here.
Yeah, so that's another source of error, of odor, is the vulva. You know, you know, the girly parts can become infected and for some reason, we're not as inhibited about doing our sanitaries and cleaning the girly parts as we are at looking directly at the anus.
It's true.
You know, it's true. You know, we've been taught to avert our eyes.
Look away. Look away.
Do not to look at that.
So sometimes I'll use one of those foaming. So I'll take a baby wipe and I'll use a foaming face wash and I'll just extra clean back there. Really good clean back.
Yeah, a good clean back there. I love foaming face wash for spot cleaning, stuff like that. And
so when you get a really dirty dog in, and you get it, you've inspected, you've decided it's not ears and it's not butt and it's not belly. It's just dog rolled in goose poop or whatever. What is your general go-to? Mine is absolutely positively Best Shot One, depending on the severity of the dirtiness, because conditioners add so much time to my grooming time and I don't have the ability to just passively dry the dogs. I condition less, maybe. I do a lot more results rinse than I do use the Best Shot One conditioner. But I go right to that, and I really get maybe even throw a little bit extra in the tub, and I just really make sure I get every single part of that dog washed. And I'm using a recirculator. Do you ever, when you're using a recirculator, physically apply directly onto spots of the dog straight up shampoo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so like, I mean, just because I have a recirculator doesn't. Yeah, I do that on paws. You know, right? We use Show Season Grime Time, and it's a degreaser. It's sodium lauryl sulfate and a little something else, and a little sunflower oil triglyceride, so that it doesn't irritate the skin. But it's mostly sodium lauryl sulfate condensed, so it's a little gel, and we just do the, you know, like we have in Tucson, we have a problem with dogs that walk on the asphalt and they just get black. That new Westie that I did yesterday just got his feet, you know, it starts with the feet and then it just crawls up the leg, you know. And so we use the Grime Time there. I can use a little dab a Grime Time under the tail there, you know.
I find that helps a lot. I've got a problem with that.
But I will say one thing. Let's talk about dingleberries.
Okay.
So dingleberries are, my definition of dingleberries are feces that's caught up in long hair.
Yes, Klingons, okay. Another name.
Klingons are small little bits of poop that cling on right around the anus.
Okay.
But dingleberries are kind of the whole, you know, the whole thing. So, and do you know what buried treasure is?
No.
My mother coined the term buried treasure because she had, we bred and showed Lhasa Apso's. Swiss always had about six Lhasa Apso's running around. And those dogs, they would get very embarrassed when they had poop stuck. And they would sit on it or they would scoot it. And they would, you know, and then they would clamp their tail down. And so you couldn't see it, but you could smell it. And then you would lift the tail up, and there would be the buried treasure.
Oh, my. I'm going to use that. I like it. Okay. These are official grooming terms, folks.
So there is a difference between Klingons, dingleberries, and buried treasure.
Okay.
We need to make that clear. So here's what I do. When I'm cleaning dingleberries off of, and I have two Maltese and a Bichon, so we get that occasionally, I co-wash, I conditioner wash the rear end where the problem is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know what? And I learned this at my double sink. So I have a really deep double sink in a room that's unfinished that was going to be my guest house, and it's nothing right now. And my little Maltese will actually stand in one side of the sink and put their paws up on the divider between the two sides. And then it's got a nice, really nice long spray that comes down. I can adjust the spray. Well, I have a pump conditioner, and I just pump a few pumps, and I just swished the conditioner up there. And the conditioner actually removes the stuck-on shit better than the soap.
Because it makes it slippery?
Because it makes it slippery.
Okay.
So I condition, I co-wash the dirty butt. You know, and then you can finish up once you get the chunks off.
Yeah, then just throw
it. You know what? And I've come so far, baby. You know, I want you to know that before I was a groomer, when I was just like with my mom and we were showing our Laza Opsos and I had my own Laza Opsos, I couldn't do that. I could not clean buried treasure, dingleberries, or even Klingons. I mean, it was just like I didn't have the stomach for it. I would gag. I would choke. I would die. And I even had to, one time I got stuck with a dog that had that problem, and my mom was on a trip. I took it over to my boyfriend's house, and he had had kids. You know, he knew how to breathe out his mouth, not his nose.
Yep,
that's the trick. You got to learn how not to breathe through your nose when you're cleaning something that smells horrible.
Yes.
We're Mama. Just full of information today, aren't we?
I know it. Also, the odor neutralizing sprays. If you get a dog done and you just are smelling a little bit of odor, hit it with the spray. But, you know, really be aware that the first place that the owner is going to put their face is right next to your dog's face. So you want that area to smell good. And I did double check with my clients, Barbara, and they do want their dogs to turn into air fresheners. So I'm good.
You know, you can cover it up. You can clean it off. You can use something with an enzyme in it that kind of attacks the odor and eats it like Pac-Man. Or you can use a product with an odor encapsulant.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, so that's a chemical, a non-toxic chemical that encapsulates the odor molecules, the volatile odor molecules, and then holds it. And then it gets rinsed off. One of those ingredients that usually companies don't like to tell you their proprietary odor things, but zinc ricinoleate.
That's the one, huh?
Yeah, that's the one. It's made, where does ricin come from? Castor oil.
Yeah, it's a poison.
Well, it's not. Well, ricin is a poison, but yeah. Ricinoleate is not toxic.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's another.
So does it kind of act like a surfactant does to a particulate of?
I think so. Yeah, you know, I'm not exactly clear, but that seems to be what's happening. It encompasses the odor, and then when it gets rinsed off, the odor gets rinsed off. And there's mixed reviews on how well that works. Zinc ricinoleate is used by Toms of Maine for their deodorant. It's used in a lot of natural deodorants. And we all know that natural deodorants are more likely to fail.
Yes.
We've all had a friend.
God, haven't we? Especially up here in the land of hippies.
That won't use a freaking deodorant, you know.
Yep.
And, indeed. Okay, so I've been going one step further. I'm working in a shop where it's getting a bit warm and our swamp coolers are creating humidity. So I'm perspiring and I'm not really a sweaty person.
Yes.
But I sometimes I notice in the afternoon, like yesterday, I was grooming a dog, and I'm asking Yvonne, did someone poop?
Uh-oh.
Yvonne, did someone poop? she goes looking all over the place to see, finding, looking for buried treasure. And, you know, because that's another thing. They'll poop in the crate and then cover it up with a crate. With her crate towel.
True.
Another form of buried treasure. So yes. In your shop. So she's checking it all out. She said, I don't find anything. And then I thought, God, is it me?
Oh.
And so I started spritzing myself with doggy cologne. I had some of that good stuff from that we got from
Arturo.
What's his name with the he's your buddy and he has the fuck my mind, you know, it's the end is coming.
Stop that.
Chuck Simmons. Yes. Okay, so Chuck Simmons had that line. I haven't seen too much about that.
No, I haven't.
That line of luxury shampoo, I don't think it took off.
Right.
But they had this, you know, kind of fancy pet cologne that's a little bit too much for the pets. But I was just like spritzing myself. You know, it's just because if you can't clean it, mask it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, so I asked on Facebook for people to put up their skunk remedies. So we got a lot of skunk remedies on there because that is the mother of all odors.
It is the mother of all odors. And, you know, and it needs to be dealt with separately because it's not a common everyday thing. It's kind of an outside, really extreme odor. So what did they have to say? Pepsi. Oh. Somebody said Pepsi.
Yeah, no, they said Coke. And I said, what about Pepsi? Because, and I've never used that. Actually, I've only dealt with a couple skunk dogs. How about you?
I've only dealt with a couple of skunk dogs. But, you know, I do know that the key to removing skunk odor is oxidation of the odor.
Exposing it to air?
Well, I don't know if that in itself is going to oxidize the odor, but it needs to be chemically changed.
So broken down.
Broken down, yeah. And that's why the hydrogen peroxide baking soda dish soap remedy works. But it needs to be done immediately. This is the key to skunk odor removal is to do something immediately, because if they just put the dog in the garage and then, you know, a day later bring it to the groomer, it's already set in and that odor can actually penetrate.
Right.
It penetrates into the hair shaft, you know, or into the skin. I mean, it goes deep. Let's just say that. It goes deep. It penetrates. It becomes harder and harder to remove the longer, you know. And then I read another factoid that I ran across was that water always increases odor because it brings up more compounds.
Right. So, wet dog smell.
Yeah, wet dog smell. And then and that reminds me of skunk. You can think you've got the skunk odor handled, but as soon as a dog gets wet, smells again, that's because the wet, there again, it kind of brings up, odor is volatile. It's volatile gases. So if something activates the volatility button,
like water, like adding water.
I just make up shit, don't I?
So the recipe is a quart of hydrogen peroxide, a quarter cup of baking soda, and 2 teaspoons of Dawn and latex gloves. And so that's at least that's the one that Aaron put up. And that seems to be the go-to one.
Yeah, and if you Google skunk remedy, you can find the original. This was developed by a chemist. There they go. This was developed by a chemist. And it's the combination of the baking soda and the hydrogen peroxide. And the hydrogen peroxide has to be fresh. It cannot be something that's been sitting around, because we don't notice, but hydrogen peroxide loses its viability. It doesn't really have that great a shelf life.
The baking soda, too, if it's not fairly fresh, it isn't going to do its job either.
Yeah. So the bestest thing is to run, don't walk, to the supermarket or the nearest drugstore and pick up fresh baking soda and fresh hydrogen peroxide. Race back and only a dash of dish soap. It's not the dish soap. It's just acting. It's just putting some surfactants in there so that the whole thing will spread, you know.
How about milk? Why does milk work?
I don't think milk does work.
Oh, that's another old wives' tale. But
yeah, I don't know about the Coca-Cola thing.
Well,
how about the tomato juice?
Yep, that's another one. Nobody suggested any of those, though. The Coca-Cola one is, Lacey says, put it on dry after the dog has been sprayed. So once again, get it right away. Let it sit for 10 or 15 minutes and then shampoo. It works every time. The key is to do it on a dry dog, not a wet dog. So there you have it. We could probably talk another hour about odors and odor neutralizing, but we have other things to talk about. So. Right. Let's take a break here really quickly and hear from South Park, and then we are going to have our definition du jour. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. The definition du jour. Definition du jour time. Tell us about aloe vera.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Did you see my Angry Bird this week?
I sure did.
So what kind of triggered me to talk to you guys about aloe vera is that I think we haven't talked about it. And aloe vera is so common that we just take it for granted. It's in every other shampoo. It's in it's hugely popular amongst shampoo makers, pet shampoo makers. And the reason that it's popular is that it's got a great folkloric narrative. So we've talked about folkloric narratives, and jojoba has a great folkloric narrative, and argan oil has a great folkloric narrative, including pictures of goats in the argan oil. Oh man, I didn't tell them that in my webinar about the real source, the first source of how they used to get argan oil out of the nuts.
We'll have to add that in.
Oh man.
In the conditioning. We'll put it in the conditioning.
Yeah, sticking it in the conditioning. Remind me.
Yes.
That's too funny.
Yes.
Okay, so aloe vera, which is known as aloe vera barbendicis, is the actual botanical name.
The official name.
The official name. And you really want to know whether you've got aloe vera gel, what do you got? Gel, juice, reconstituted powder? You don't know. It comes in many forms, but it all dates back to the indigenous people of the Southwest and Mexico and Northern South America used aloe vera leaves. The gel inside, the jelly stuff, the jelly, let's just call that jelly, the jelly stuff to heal burns and sunburn and scrapes and bruises. So to heal skin, it has a tremendous proven humectant moisturizing value, and it contains so many. Aloe vera chili contains 75 components.
It's wow.
So this is nature. Nature is complex. If you want a simple formula, don't use a lot of natural stuff, because each natural thing has an amazingly complex component system, you know? So anyway, the Indians used to use aloe to heal skin and stuff. And then it became popular as an additive in lotions and creams and things for skin, and ultimately found its way into shampoos. And the main purpose of it being in the shampoo formula is for the psychology of your recognition of aloe as a really great thing.
It's marketing again?
It's marketing.
Boy, are we a sucker for that.
We are. You know, if I were to write a book that wasn't related to the pet industry, my title would be The Marketing of America.
Wow.
Because I would love to kind of draw that out and explain to people. You know, even the color of the packaging is used to compel our psychology, and the color of the ad. So I got angry because I saw Esprit is putting out a web ad, and it's got a lot of green in it.
It sure does.
Because that green is the color now, because it's the color of nature, you know. So it's got a lot of green in it, and it's claiming that our shampoos contain 50% aloe juice.
But is that even possible? Would it claim? That's a lot of additional.
Do you know that aloe is it's a gooey, it's a mucilage kind of, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's not like.
Thank you. Tell it like it is, Susie Scott.
7-year-old
it's
boy.
Snot-like. So you don't want 50% snot-like in your...
Definitely not.
No, and I don't think that it is. So here's the deal. Aloe, inside the aloe leaf, there's really two things. There's the gel, or what I call the jelly, and it's clear, and it's a lot like Jell-O. But not quite that firm. And then there's what's called the juice, and that's the yellow stuff that comes, that's more of a sticky, gooey liquid that comes from the little bit right around the skin.
And so that, like, it's the inside of the cambium layer of the plant, kind of?
Cambium layer, definition?
The fibrous part of the plant. It's like the inside of the fibrous part of the plant? The very...
Yeah, just right, lining. right. Yeah, right after the skin of the... So the aloe, it's these long, fat spears. You know, like, just to describe, in case you've never seen one, I happen to have a plant right outside my home by the front porch, and it's great because it takes a lot to kill it.
Oh, you know? And, yeah. I like those kind of plants.
Yeah, I know. Especially when the weather gets to be 110 degrees, and, you know, and these plants are indigenous to this part of the country. So, you know, I just, as long as I throw in a cup of water once a week, that plant is happy. But so you have the jelly stuff, and then you have this yellow liquid that's called the juice. But that's not what they use when they say aloe vera juice. And the other thing that just, like, pissed me off right from the beginning is that they didn't say aloe vera. They just said aloe. Now, there's other aloes.
There is?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there you go. So, definition du jour. Aloe vera barbendensis.
Okay.
So, I could look at my notes.
Oh, don't look at your notes. That's crazy talk.
You've come a long way, baby.
I know it. I just roll with it now.
Oh, God. Listen, people, she used to have everything written down. Now she's winging it, just like I taught her how much fun it is.
It's way better to be, less scripted.
Less scripted. Unplugged, we call it.
Unplugged. Group pod unplugged.
Okay, so I looked at one of my favorite cosmetic ingredient sources of information is this website called makingcosmetics.com. Mm-hmm. And they actually, I mean, they're not only serving the do-it-yourself cosmetic makers, hobbyists, but they're serving small and large companies that are manufacturing cosmetics. So, I mean, they even have, the way that you know that they're serving the big guys is that they have 55-gallon drum on there, you know. You know, so I usually just kind of go in and look at what the gallon price is, because I have kind of gallons in my mind, and we buy a gallon of shampoo. So I looked at what they had under aloe vera, and they had actual aloe vera juice. And then they had aloe vera extract.
Well, so aloe vera extract is the plant all squished up and then distilled.
Let me find it. Wait a minute. I do need to go to my notes. Okay, so here's the aloe vera leaf. It's called, the inky name is aloe barbendensis leaf extract. And this is what they say. Parts being used, inner leaf, extracted water, glycerin, preserved with phenoxyethanol. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
Here's something that you might want to know. Pure natural liquid derived from the hollow interior of the leaves. Oh, this is something else. This is aloe vera, plain aloe vera. Pure natural liquid derived from the hollow interior of the leaves of the aloe plant, Aloe barbendensis from Miller, consists of 75 ingredients, including amino acids, enzymes, hormones, minerals, saponins, sterols, sugars, lectins, and vitamins.
Wow, that is a lot of stuff.
It's an amazing plant. The this stuff is preserved with sodium benzoate and potassium sorbate. It's a yellow to green liquid with a faint herbal odor. And it's a gallon of it is $54. The extract, a gallon is $52. But you can tell it's already extract in water. So it's okay. it's already diluted. And then we have the powder, concentrated 200 times aloe vera powder derived from the hollow interior of the leaves of the aloe plant. And they say you dilute it and dissolve it in water to make a stock solution that is adequate for adding to formulas. And the addition of 1% of aloe vera powder to a product gives the same concentration of aloe vera as pure aloe juice squeezed from the fresh aloe vera plant. Isn't that interesting? I don't exactly understand that. I may have to talk to them. But this aloe juice that is being advertised, I mean, and it's a big banner across the front of this ad. Our shampoos contain 50% aloe juice. It's probably some aloe extract or powder mixed in with what would normally be the water of the shampoo.
Oh, well, that makes it more viable, but that's not exactly true.
You know, they're not using gooey, snot-like aloe juice to make their shampoo. They're not trading off something that's gooey and snot-like for the water in the shampoo. You would have a horrible product. Plus, if you add too much, I read, if you add more than 2% aloe to a product, you can start having problems with the product not holding together, okay? It makes the product separate. I mean, this is true of a lot of botanical extracts, that if you know, if you're going to try to do like 30% or something, you've got a crap product that doesn't work and doesn't hold up and it separates out, or it becomes grainy, or it goes off. So that's not exactly truthful marketing tactic by Esprit, and that makes me mad. So they're just, you know, like, it's probably, this is my supposition, it's the same amount of aloe they've always had, but now they've added it to the water instead of adding it to the solution at the end.
It's just twisting around the words a little bit.
It's smoke and mirrors, Susie.
It's
confusing to the consumer. And I don't like marketing. I mean, and it's relying on the psychological value of us knowing that aloe is a good thing. And aloe is a good thing. And the Indians did use it, but they used it fresh.
I mean, right out of the plant.
They would just go to a plant, cut off part of a spear, and squeeze the gooey stuff out.
We just need to be aware. Just be aware, people. That's what we do here on the Green Pod. We make awareness happen.
Yeah, you see, and there's been a lot of aloe is such a fad ingredient. It's a superfood too on the supplement edibles side of life. It's a very well-known, well-established superfood. And every time I read up about it, I end up going out and buying some aloe to drink. And then I have to be reminded that I can't stand the taste of the stuff.
I was just going to say, a trip down memory lane. I remember in the 70s, in the late 70s, the aloe vera tiered marketing scams that were going around. Ask me about aloe vera, you know, on the windshield of the lady's car. And they'd sell the gallons of the juice and they'd want you to drink the juice and how magical the stuff is. I only know for myself, I couldn't stomach it. It was just too gross. And if it was diluted enough so that I could stomach it, it wasn't doing anything.
It's like kale.
Yes. Overrated.
Well, it might have, I mean, you know, I'm sorry. Superfood is only super to me if it's tasty and delicious.
Yes, it has to be super good.
It has to be super good. And aloe isn't, and kale isn't, you know?
Nope.
You know, I mean, I just can't stand that stuff.
I can't either.
But maybe in a smoothie.
Maybe. You know what it is good for is if you get sunburn.
It is good for topical stuff.
And it's magical for that.
But it has a super good antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties when ingested. And so every time I read up about aloe, it's got stuff for what ails me.
Yeah, I know. You know? Me too.
And I want to try it. And then I just remember. And then it sits in my refrigerator.
And goes bad.
And goes bad, and so then it gets put in the back of the refrigerator.
Yep.
At some point, Yvonne comes over and says, "Have I been seeing this for 2 years?" Oh, yeah, probably.
Secrets. All right.
Your refrigerator tells the truth.
It does. It does.
About you.
My mom's caregiver used to love to go in there and clean out my mom's old food because she bought food like she was feeding four people, but she was by herself at that point. It was crazy. Anyway, we've run out of time. So let's wrap this one up, huh?
How about it?
All right, cool. Well, we'll talk hair splinters another time. We'll do that next week.
Okay, we'll do that next week. This happens all the time, people. We just chat away too much, and then we can't do our last topic.
It's true. All right, well, make sure you guys keep an eye on the discussion group. You can always ask us questions there. We're fully ready to respond to you. We'll bring it on the show if need be, like the odor stuff and the aloe vera stuff and the degreasing versus clarifying stuff. We get to the meat of the questions right here every week on the Groom Pod, and we're happy to have you with us. Happy grooming, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers. Bye, Susie.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.